Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomasins, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking the USS Liberty is steadily sinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. It's planned all along. And you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise. Let it drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep clothing, we know that you're just a woke.
All
right.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by a creator, no apology. Rule more like a king when we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Barack is soon to set sail. Vote for O is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. Uphold it, you can stick to his word from his campaign trail. His issue with integrity, it's his very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Alright. I'm so glad to be back. It's me, C. Robert Jones, on the Conservative Report. Today's date, July 26, 2011. Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Oh, boy. Where should we start? Where do we begin? I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly where we begin, right here. Right now. So I read that the former United States is so desperate for medical supplies that they have allegedly sent several containers filled with wheat and tobacco, a gesture, they said, of goodwill. You want to know what I think? Well, you're listening to my show, so I assume you do. I think it's high time we let colonies know what we really think of them. I think it's payback time for a little tea party they threw for us a few hundred years ago. I say we go down to those docks tonight and dump that crap where everything from the United States of America belongs. Who's with me? Who's bloody with me? Do you like that, USA? USA? I mean, what else can you say? Here was a country that had everything, absolutely everything. And now, 20 years later, is what? The world's biggest leper colony. Why? Godlessness. Let me say that again. Godlessness. It wasn't the wars they started. It wasn't the plague they created. It wasn't... No, it was judgment. No one escapes their past. No one escapes judgment. You think he's not up there? You think he's not watching over this country? How else can you explain it? He tested us, but we came through. We did what we had to do. I was there. I saw it all. Immigrants, Muslims, homosexuals, terrorists, disease-ridden degenerates. They had to go. Strength through unity, unity through faith. I'm a God-fearing Englishman, and I'm goddamn proud of it. Speech. Ha ha, yes, Cougar has it right. V for Vendetta. Yes, I have some really, really smart, well-read folks who listen to my show, and I'm so proud of it. And I tell you what, either they're really smart and well-read, or they're watching an awful lot of TV and some really good movies. And yes, they knew right away where I was going. I'm going to go ahead and steal something I stole from Victor's show, Insane Government. Because I've been meaning to talk about it, but I was out of town, and I was taking care of some business. Yeah, I was lounging at the, you know, in D.C., just kind of hanging out at my place over there, just relaxing, drinking some wine, eating some cheese, you know, having a steak or two, some lobster, some crab meat, you know, the usual, you know, some shrimp. Yeah, I got to spend all my money before, you know, dude comes calling. So, yeah, I was just kind of chilling. But now I'm back, and we're back in business. V is for victory, but V is also for Victor from the Insane Government radio program that just concluded moments ago. And Victor spoke about Home Depot co-founder, Bernie Marcus. Bernie Marcus may deserve a Profile and Courage Award for saying what a lot of business leaders are undoubtedly thinking, but fear saying in public. What did he say? Well, it kind of went like this. What's the single biggest impediment to job growth today? Marcus responds, the U.S. government. Having built a small business into a big one, I can tell you that today the impediments that the government imposes on are impossible to deal with. Home Depot would never have succeeded if we had tried to start it today. Every day you see rules and regulations from a group of Washington bureaucrats who know nothing about running a business. And I mean every day. It's becoming stifling, he said. He went on to say, if you're a small businessman, the only way to deal with it is to work harder, put in more hours, and let people go. When you consider that something like 70% of the American people work for small businesses, you are talking about a big economic impact. The questioner, President Obama has promised to streamline and eliminate regulations. What's your take, Marcus? His speeches are wonderful. His output is absolutely incredibly bad. as he speaks about cutting out regulations, they're now producing thousands of pages of new ones. With just Obamacare by itself, you have a 2,000-page bill that's probably going to end up being 150,000 pages of regulations. Bingo. Marcus Commons devil-tail what the Heritage Report states, which shows that the recovery got nipped in the bud by the passage of Obamacare. Marcus is now the second CEO to come forward within the last 2 weeks, following casino CEO Steve Wynn. Wynn added that business leaders fear reprisals for speaking out, and why wouldn't they? From the auto dealership seizure to the NLRB's case against Boeing, National Labor Relations Board, to the EPA's assault on Texas energy producers, this administration has all but declared war on American business. Well, of course, not all American business. The Obama administration is chummy with the auto manufacturer it bailed out, and, of course, GE. But it seems that everyone else fears finding themselves in administration's crosshairs. For speaking out, Marcus and Home Depot can probably expect boycott from the left and some sort of regulatory attack from the administration now. What do we have here, folks? Because here's my take on this whole thing. What Steve Wynn said, what now Marcus came out and said, one wonders if things are getting out of hand. Now, I mean, seriously, can we talk here? I mean, seriously out of hand. When the government becomes so heavy-handed that it stifles the growth of the country, one wonders whether or not we've gotten to a point where there's time for a change of government, perhaps a revolution of sorts. And I'm being told that my mic is crapping out a little bit. Perhaps we can do something about that. All right. I'm going to attempt to figure that situation out. I'm not sure if it's my mic or if it's something else. But we'll get it fixed out. We'll get it fixed up. So the deal here is simple. The Obama administration is attempting to high hand all of regulation here in this country. So we're going to take a quick break here while I figure out what's going on with the sound. Take a listen to this clip. Tell me what you think. The number is 347-884-8500.
The way we're going to win over the long term is not just militarily. We've got to win over hearts and minds. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
in Pakistan. Meanwhile, the first apparent U.S. missile strike since Barack Obama became commander-in-chief. At least 17 people were killed, and the world is getting an early sample of the new administration's war on terror.
But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
And President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway, all of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. I mean, the old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
He's President Bush's ninth cousin once removed. Cheney's cousin Barack Obama is also Bush's 11th cousin.
One of the things I discovered is that Dick and Barack Obama are eighth cousins.
Well, is that an amazing thing?
Even Obama's administration wants to increase spending overseas and increase military spending. As long as you want to run the world empire at $1 trillion a year, believe me, you cannot solve this problem. We are determined to take a serious recession and turn it into a depression if we don't change our ways.
Of universal citizen service. Mm-hmm. You have to participate.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months, because I think anytime somebody serves their country in some capacity, we're going to be stronger for it.
Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown says he fears President-elect Obama could establish a Marxist dictatorship. Brown said in an interview Monday, quote, "It may sound a bit crazy and off base, but he's the one who proposed this national security force." Brown is referring to a July speech by Mr. Obama in which he called for a civilian force to relieve the military from its national security burden. That's exactly what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. It's exactly what the Soviet Union did. He's showing me signs of being Marxist. You have to remember that Adolf Hitler was elected in a democratic Germany, end quote, Paul Brown.
Variety of conflicts against the Soviet Union, but we always strove to maximize the number of supporters
right.
in order to isolate the opponents. I'm very much for the use of power.
I think Obama is clearly more effective and has the upper hand.
If we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf will not act, we will.
The verbal reaction was swift.
Pakistan being a sovereign country will never allow any other country to send troops to its territory for any purpose.
To Dr. Brzezinski, he has proven to be an outstanding friend and somebody who I've learned an immense amount from.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, the end of your first term, more than 5 years from now, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I don't want to make promises not knowing what the situation is going to be 3 or 4 years out.
And I have to say, Obama is the most inspiring man. He's full of all the goodies, our civic duty to participate and make this one big global community.
This man was born for this, and he was born to lead us, and I just feel so inspired.
Someone to actually make a difference in my generation.
I feel like I am living a dream.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna get emotional. I feel like I'm experiencing a level of inspiration.
Not only does he hear us, he feels us.
and that when I hear Barack Obama, they said he talks to my soul.
And you know, Pierce, what was interesting also is that the debate we were having in Washington today seems to have moved beyond the tax increases, at least in the short term. Nobody today is talking about tax increases except Barack Obama, who still talked about that tonight in his speech. The plan by Harry Reid contains no tax increase in the short term. The plan by John Boehner contains no tax increase.
Good evening. Tonight I want to talk about the debate we've been having in Washington over the national debt, a debate that directly affects the lives of all Americans.
Test.
For the last decade, we've spent more money than we take in. In the year 2000, the government had a budget surplus, but instead of using it to pay off our debt, the money was spent on trillions of dollars in new tax cuts, while two wars and an expensive prescription drug program were simply added to our nation's credit card. As a result, the deficit was on track to top $1 trillion the year I took office. To make matters worse, the recession meant that there was less money coming in, and it required us to spend even more on tax cuts for middle-class families to spur the economy, on unemployment insurance, on aid to states so we could prevent more teachers and firefighters and police officers from being laid off. These emergency steps also added to the deficit. Now, every family knows a little credit card debt is manageable. But if we stay on the current path, our growing debt could cost us jobs and do serious damage to the economy. More of our tax dollars will go toward paying off the interest on our loans. Businesses will be less likely to open up shop and hire workers in a country that can't balance its books. Interest rates could climb for everyone who borrows money, the homeowner with a mortgage, the student with a college loan, the corner store that wants to expand. And we won't have enough money to make job-creating investments in things like education and infrastructure, or pay for vital programs like Medicare and Medicaid. Because neither party is blameless for the decisions that led to this problem, both parties have a responsibility to solve it. And over the last several months, that's what we've been trying to do. I won't bore you with the details of every plan or proposal, but basically the debate has centered around two different approaches. The first approach says, let's live within our means by making serious, historic cuts in government spending. Let's cut domestic spending to the lowest level it's been since Dwight Eisenhower was president. Let's cut defense spending at the Pentagon by hundreds of billions of dollars. Let's cut out waste and fraud in healthcare programs like Medicare. And at the same time, let's make modest adjustments so that Medicare is still there for future generations. Finally, let's ask the wealthiest Americans and biggest corporations to give up some of their breaks in the tax code and special deductions. This balanced approach asks everyone to give a little without requiring anyone to sacrifice too much. It would reduce the deficit by around $4 trillion and put us on a path to pay down our debt. And the cuts wouldn't happen so abruptly that they'd be a drag on our economy or prevent us from helping small businesses and middle-class families get back on their feet right now. This approach is also bipartisan. While many in my own party aren't happy with the painful cuts it makes, enough will be willing to accept them if the burden is fairly shared. While Republicans might like to see deeper cuts and no revenue at all, there are many in the Senate who have said, yes, I'm willing to put politics aside and consider this approach because I care about solving the problem. And to his credit, this is the kind of approach the Republican Speaker of the House, John Boehner, was working on with me over the last several weeks. The only reason this balanced approach isn't on its way to becoming law right now because a significant number of Republicans in Congress are insisting on a different approach, a cuts-only approach, an approach that doesn't ask the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to contribute anything at all. And because nothing is asked of those at the top of the income scale, such an approach would close the deficit only with more severe cuts to programs we all care about,
cuts that place a greater burden on working families. So, the debate right now isn't about whether we need to make tough choices. Democrats and Republicans agree on the amount of deficit reduction we need. The debate is about how it should be done. Most Americans, regardless of political party, don't understand how we can ask a senior citizen to pay more for her Medicare before we ask a corporate jet owner or the oil companies to give up tax breaks that other companies don't get. How can we ask a student to pay more for college before we ask hedge fund managers to stop paying taxes at a lower rate than their secretaries?
Yeah, hedge fund
folks.
How can
we slash funding for education and clean energy before we ask people like me to give up tax breaks we don't need
tax breaks
and didn't ask for? That's not right. It's not fair. We all want a government that lives within its means, but there are still things we need to pay for as a country. Things like new roads and bridges, weather satellites, and food inspection, services to veterans.
All right, let's talk about what's fair right now. All right, 51% of most Americans do not pay any taxes at all, at all. Yet the Obama administration wants to tax businesses more and then talk about what's fair. What's fair? What is fair? If corporate jet owners are not contributing more, what is fair? I mean, I throughout Obama's speech, he talked about what is fair. What is fair? Are you kidding me? Most of Americans don't pay any taxes. Now let's talk about what's fair. My neighbor down the street at the end of the year pays taxes. Tax money, taxes come out of his check every 2 weeks. At the end of the year, he receives this massive refund of all the money that he put in. And he goes out and gets a big screen TV, maybe gets some new tires for his crappy old car. There's always something going into the house sometime around January and February. Whereas me, your humble host, pays his taxes throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, January, February, March, I'm writing a check to the government. I do not get a refund. No. So I'm the guy who's actually paying taxes. So now this clown wants me to pay more taxes. And while my neighbor down the street is going to get a refund, so that he doesn't pay any taxes. So that's fair. He wants to do what's fair. Listen to this.
And you know, Pierce, what was interesting also is that the debate we were having in Washington today seems to have moved beyond the tax increases, at least in the short term. Nobody today is talking about tax increases except Barack Obama, who still talked about that tonight in his speech. The plan by Harry Reid contains no tax increase in the short term. Contains no tax increase.
All right, so Obama's the only one talking about increasing taxes. Now here, let's think about this intellectually for a minute. Because I've been shouting, because I've been excited. I'm excited about what Obama's talking about, and not in a good way. So let's calm down. I'll calm down for a minute, and I want to talk about this with you all intellectually, just for a moment. If Obama is asking businesses, corporate jet owners to pay more in taxes at a time when the unemployment rate is statistically at 9.2% and much higher overall, and there's a chance that higher taxes will conclude with more layoffs. Is it unreasonable to suggest that Obama wants to create a sense of panic here in America, that he doesn't want a deal at all? Is it reasonable to assume that to be the case? There are new polls out that confirm that President Obama's base is crumbling. Is he attempting to create a scenario where the country collapses and goes into bankruptcy? This guy is the president of the United States, and he has been billed as this genius. Why would he want more people to pay more taxes when statistically all the money, if he taxed the rich and wealthy 100% of their income, not just forever, for the next 10 years, it wouldn't make a dent in the overall analysis here as it relates to our budget deficit. So then why would he do this? Does anyone know why? Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? I have a call on the line, 804. You're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yes, I think that he thinks he got elected king of the world. He reminds me in some ways of Papa Doc of Haiti.
Oh, Papa Doc Duvalier and Baby Doc. Yes. But, well, you know what?
And that's how he's going to run America into the ground, and everybody is dependent on the king.
So,
if you're in favor, then you get extra crumbs than the others that have to fight amongst themselves for anything that they can get.
There has to be more to it than that. I mean, does the guy just not know what he's doing, or does he simply not care? I mean, what is the answer here?
He is not from the heart. He's from the head, and he has no practical experience.
But obviously there's nothing in his head.
Well, that's what we're finding out.
His head is empty.
That's what we're finding out. But he, you know, he comes across as a smooth talker. I wrote a little article during the presidential campaign when he was talking about change constantly. I said, Americans don't want change. We want all our money back. How prophetic was that? That was before the election.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird scenario in Washington. Here now we have folks saying that Obama needs to be challenged, that there needs to be a primary challenge.
Every time he's challenged, he throws up, you know, indirectly the race card or this or that, and they're picking on a black man, and you know it's.
Well, honestly, he doesn't do that, but. He has people to do that for him.
Exactly right. He's above that, but his people, he'll tell his people how to handle it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. In this weird world that's watching, men and women say things daily, hourly, even minutely that they know deep down are simply not true. And Obama knows that what he's saying is not true. And we know that what he's saying is not true. What is his end game here?
I think his end game is to please the global elite that got him into office and that run both parties in Washington.
But if America is weakened, then isn't it true that Obama is weakened?
Yeah, if they're America, looking at it from a global perspective, and they'll pick up and go anywhere when things get a little more chaotic. How much property does the Bushes have in Argentina?
I don't know. I mean,
they're looking for the chaos. They're hoping for it. I'm hearing things now along the Mexican border that the cartels are in cahoots with Hezbollah, and they're sneaking terrorists of all kinds across the border down there. They're looking for they have camps set up. They are agitating. They want the public out in the streets rioting so that they can just have a police state and then make it like Mother Russia or whatever. I don't know how they think, but they're way off base with the economics, that's for sure. And the health care, that was a payoff to the Kennedy family.
Yeah. Oops. No. I think I lost my caller here. Well, hopefully he'll call back. Inside the Beltway, we all call these utterances, such as what we heard from Barack Obama, rhetoric. That's what we call it, rhetoric. But across the rest of the country, plain old simple folks like you and me, Billy, Craig, GGT, Jermaine, Cougar, Southern Sense, plain old folks like you and me call them bald-faced lies. Or even bold-faced lies, depending on what part of the country you come from. Those folks, we have a tried and true way of determining a lie. If you know what you're saying is patently false, then it's a lie. Simple. I mean, it's a lie. You're lying. Lie, lie, lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And lately, the president has been lying so much that his pants could burst into flames at any moment. And I wish they would. Not that I'm wishing any harm come to the president of the United States, Mr. Secret Service man, who just might be listening. His late evening news conference Friday was a tour de force of flat-out, unadulterated lying. And we've gotten a firsthand inside view of the president's long list of lies. Lie. Just plain old lie. So, I mean, are we so jaded now that all of a sudden, okay, well, we know that presidents lie, and we shouldn't be surprised. They all do it, right? Wink, wink. Right? It's all cool. Wink. Let's wink at it, because they all lie. We all know it. But, you know, I wanted to give you an update. I want to give you an update on the current situation around the debt ceiling. Obama said at 6:06 p.m. Okay, that wasn't a lie. But just about everything else he said after it was, and he knew it. He said, "I just got a call an hour ago from Speaker Boehner, who indicated that he was going to be walking away from the negotiations." Not so. The White House made offers during the negotiations, said an insider, a person intimately involved in the negotiations, and then backtracked on those offers after they got heat from Democrats on Capitol Hill. The White House and its steadfast refusal to follow through on its rhetoric, or as we call them around town, just plain old lies, Just plain old lies. So they decided they weren't going to follow through on their rhetoric in terms of cutting spending and addressing entitlements. And that's the real reason the debt talks broke down. Mr. Boehner was more blunt in his own news conference. The discussions we had with the White House have broken down for two reasons. First, they insisted on raising taxes. Secondly, they refused to get serious about cutting spending and making the tough choices they're facing, that are facing our country on entitlement reform. But back to the lying liar and the lies he told. You had a bipartisan group of senators, including Republicans, who are in leadership in the Senate, calling for what effectively was about $2 trillion above the Republican baseline that they've been working off of. What we said was, give us $1.2 trillion in additional revenues, Mr. Obama said. So okay, we are back after Skype crapped out on me in the middle of my monologue. That's not good. It's not cool. Skype, you got to do better than this. I'm going to have to give them a call tomorrow. Give them a piece of my mind right here in the middle of my show. Is this, what is going on? You know what? I'm tempted to just stop using Skype altogether and just call in using a regular good old-fashioned American telephone. This is getting out of hand. After I finish with Mr. Obama, I'm going to start railing on Skype and how there's a conspiracy afoot to prevent my show from getting out, from my message to getting out to the people. Yes. All right. Well, back to the lying liar before Obama cuts my feet again. Okay, Obama's lying. Lying and more lying. Mr. Boehner told it like it was. He said that the White House moved the goalpost, that there was an agreement, some additional revenues, until yesterday when the president demanded $400 billion more, which is going to be nothing more than a tax increase on the American people. Who wants another tax increase? I think this guy's trying to cover from that Bush tax cut, and he sees his opportunity. Lee owns a majority share. He's disconnecting me. Lee? Oh, my God. I'm sure you're probably right. So Mr. Obama is lying his butt off. Let's listen to what Speaker Boehner has to say before Lee and Skype cuts me out again.
Good evening. I'm John Boehner. I serve as Speaker of the whole House, of the members of both parties that you elect. These are difficult times in the life of our nation. Millions are looking for work and have been for some time. And the spending binge going on in Washington is a big part of the reason why. Before I served in Congress, I ran a small business in Ohio. I was amazed at how different Washington, D.C. operated than every other business in America. Where most American businesses make the hard choices to pay their bills and live within their means, in Washington, more spending and more debt is business as usual. Well, I've got news for Washington. Those days are over. President Obama came to Congress in January and requested business as usual, yet another routine increase in the national debt, but we in the House said, not so fast. Here was a president asking for the largest debt increase in American history on the heels of the largest spending binge in American history. And here's what we got for that massive spending binge: a new health care bill that most Americans never asked for, a stimulus bill that's more effective in producing material for late night comedians than it was in producing jobs, and a national debt that has gotten so out of hand, it sparked a crisis without precedent in my lifetime or yours. The United States cannot default on its debt obligations. The jobs and savings of too many Americans are at stake. What we told the president in January was this: that the American people will not accept an increase in the debt limit without significant spending cuts and reforms. And over the last 6 months, we've done our best to convince the president to partner with us to do something dramatic to change the fiscal trajectory of our country, something that will boost confidence in our economy, renew a measure of faith in our government, and help small businesses get back on track. Last week, the House passed such a plan, and with bipartisan support. It's called the Cut, Cap, and Balance Act. It cuts and caps government spending and paves the way for a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, which we believe is the best way to stop Washington from spending money that it doesn't have. Before we even passed the bill in the House, the President said he would veto it. I want you to know I made a sincere effort to work with the President to identify a path forward that would implement the principles of cut, cap, and balance in a manner that could secure bipartisan support and be signed into law. And I'll tell you, I gave it my all. Unfortunately, the President would not take yes for an answer. Even when we thought we might be close on an agreement, the President's demands changed. The President has often said we need a balanced approach, which in Washington means we spend more and you pay more. Having run a small business, I know those tax increases will destroy jobs. The President is adamant that we cannot make fundamental changes to our entitlement programs. As a father of two daughters, I know these programs won't be there for them and their kids unless significant action is taken now. And the sad truth is that the President wanted a blank check 6 months ago, and he wants a blank check today. This is just not going to happen. You see, there's no stalemate here in Congress. The House passed a bill to raise the debt limit with bipartisan support. And this week, while the Senate is struggling to pass a bill filled with phony accounting and Washington gimmicks, we're going to pass another bill, one that was developed with the support of the bipartisan leadership of the U.S. Senate. Obviously, I expect that bill can and will pass the Senate and be sent to the President for a signature. And if the President signs it, the crisis atmosphere that he has created will simply disappear. The debt limit will be raised, spending will be cut by more than $1 trillion, and a serious bipartisan committee of the Congress will begin the hard but necessary work of dealing with the tough challenges our nation faces. The individuals doing this work will not be outsiders, but elected representatives of the people doing the job they were elected to do as outlined in the Constitution. Those decisions should be made based on how they're going to affect people who are struggling to get a job, not how they will affect some politician's chances of getting reelected. This debate isn't about President Obama and House Republicans. It isn't about Congress and the White House. It's about what's standing between the American people and the future we seek for ourselves and our families. You know, I've always believed the bigger the government, the smaller the people. And right now, we've got a government so big and so expensive, it's sapping the drive out of our people and keeping our economy from running at full capacity. The solution to this crisis is not complicated. If you're spending more money than you're taking in, you need to spend less of it. There's no symptom of big government more menacing than our debt. Break its grip, and we begin to liberate our economy and our future. We are up to the task, and I hope President Obama will join us in this work. God bless you and your family, and God bless the United States of America.
God bless the United States of America. Hear, hear. Now, is that a man to be trusted? Speaker Boehner, when he talks about the cold hard facts of what we really need to do to get this country on the right track. Do you trust Representative Boehner? Or do you trust Barack Obama, who says we need to spend more money, we need to tax the wealth producers, we need to have a balanced approach, and we need to have something called shared sacrifices. A really smart oil executive who appeared before Congress just a few days ago suggested that Americans don't want shared sacrifice. America wants shared prosperity. And I couldn't agree more. So the question is Obama intentionally collapsing our economy? Is this all intentional? What say you? I mean, you know what? GDT, I certainly, GDT writes in the chat room, can't trust anybody in Washington, D.C. I don't agree. I don't agree at all. I can cite so many representatives. We certainly can trust Representative Boehner, especially, well, in this instance. We can trust every single Republican conservative who is saying that this economy is going off a cliff and we need to rescue it and we need to do something about it and we need to do something about it right here and right now. We need to stop spending more money than we take in. I think we can trust that as opposed to, well, we need to tax the rich more. We need to tax the corporate jet owners. We need more revenue coming in. More revenue for what? So that you can spend more money? It's very simple. You're spending more money than you're taking in. Stop spending, or we're done. Eventually, just like you, GGT, at your house, just like me here, just like Southern Sense, Tesla, and all the rest of you, eventually, you're going to run out of money. If you spend more money every month than comes in at the end of the month, you're going to go broke. And you're going to go into bankruptcy, and you're probably going to be living out on the street or at your mama's house in her basement. That's why our mothers and fathers buy houses with basements, because they know eventually you're going to need a place to stay. And that's where you'll wind up if you keep spending more money than you're taking in. Now, my folks, well, they didn't spend more money than they take in. They saved a ton of money. When it came in, they didn't spend any of it. That's why I have their houses to live in now that they're gone. I have my choice of places to live. I can be in Florida. I can be in Georgia. I can be in Chicago, or I can be in D.C. Why? Because of those frugal black folks who held on to a penny and squeezed it for all it was worth. Well, that's what our government has to do now. Stop spending money they don't take it. Forget this idea about raising taxes and corporate jet owners and all that crap. That's time for later. Right now, it's very simple. The government is spending more money than it takes in. It's very simple. So my question to you is a very simple one. And very honest and forthright and magnanimous. Why does not the government stop spending more money than it takes in? Here's why. Obama is purposely collapsing the U.S. economy. I got an email the other day from that says that Wayne Allen Root was a classmate of Obama's. He later admitted he didn't really know much about Obama. He didn't really socialize with him all that much. That's what I meant to say. But he did attend Columbia at the same time. Now, some of you are going to pass this over as Glenn Beck type of propaganda, but I firmly believe this is exactly what he set out to do. This is Alan Root's email. And if you've followed politics for the last 4 years, I can't see how anyone could deny this is what Obama was groomed to do. Glenn Beck himself outlined it to a T, what was going to happen. And so far, he's been 100% right in everything. So don't knock my main man, Glenn Beck, because he's been right, 100%. But moving right along, love him or hate him, I understand it's hard to actually think a U.S. president would willingly want to do this, to collapse the U.S. economy. Barack Obama is no fool. He's not incompetent, as I have stated many times. To the contrary, he is brilliant. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is purposely overwhelming the U.S. economy to create systemic failure, economic crisis, and social chaos, thereby destroying capitalism and our country from within. That's right, I said it. The president is a fraud. He has no intention of dealing with Republicans on this issue. Now, Root goes on to say that Barack Obama was my college classmate, Columbia University, class of 83. He goes on to state that Obama is a devout Muslim, that we should not be fooled. He also goes on to state, look at his czars, anti-business, anti-American. As my main man, Glenn Beck, correctly predicted, from day one, Barack Hussein Obama is following the plan of Cloward and Piven, two professors also who attended Columbia University, but not at the time Obama did. Cloward and Piven outlined a plan to socialize America by overwhelming the system with government spending and entitlement demands. So now, if Cloward and Piven, which you've heard me talk about many times before on this radio program, outlined the strategy for bringing this country to its knees, i.e. a total economic collapse. They attended Columbia University, true, but that's just that's just a coincidence, I think. You have Barack Hussein Obama, who refuses to deal with Republicans or anyone else regarding this massive amount of debt, continuing to want to pile on more and more debt. The budget that Obama put forth in January got zero votes in the Senate. Zero. None, mind you. Why? Because he wanted to increase spending by $20 trillion, and even Democrats know that is bizarre. So they didn't vote for that. So now, think about this. We're on the brink of bankruptcy. That is no lie. That's not my opinion. It's a fact. So now, why would Barack Obama want to do this if it wasn't purposefully? Why? If you're the president of the United States, you've got to love the United States, I would think. You want to see this country prosper. You'd want to see this country not fail. You'd want to see the country move forward and be prosperous and strong. Wouldn't you? So why is it that the president of the United States continues to want to bring us closer and closer to the cliff? Because it's on purpose. Cloward and Piven outlined a strategy to do just what Barack Obama is doing. Now, here are the clues. Taken as a whole, taken individually, the clues I'm about to put out there are alarming. Taken as a whole, they are brilliant. It's a brilliant Machiavellian game plan to turn the United States into a socialist, Marxist state with a permanent majority that desperately needs government for survival and can be counted on to always vote for bigger government. This guy is not the idiot I've been saying he is. He is brilliant, and I'm beginning to see it. Why not? Universal health care. The health care bill had very little to do with health care. It had everything to do with unionizing millions of hospital and health care workers, as well as adding 15,000 to 20,000 new IRS agents who will, of course, join government employee unions. Obama doesn't care that free health care to 30 million Americans will add trillions to the national debt. He doesn't care about that. What he does care about is that it cements the dependence of those 30 million voters to Democrats and big government, who, but a society, a socialist society, a revolutionary, would pass this reckless spending bill in the middle of a recession, a near depression. Who would do that? Cap and trade. Like health care legislation having nothing to do with health care, cap and trade has nothing to do with global warming. It has everything to do with the redistribution of income, government control of the economy, and a criminal payoff to Obama's biggest contributors. And those powerful and wealthy unions and contributors like GE, which owns NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC, it can then be dropped by Skype once again. Is this how they treat Clarence Jones when he comes back after having a great time this weekend? Is this how they treat me? All right, back to the program at hand here. See if we can get out of here without screwing this up even further. All right, the unions, the GE, and all those wealthy contributors to the campaign that will kick back hundreds of millions of dollars in contributions to Obama and the Democrat Party in order to keep them in power. The bonus is that all the new taxes on Americans with bigger cars, bigger homes, and businesses helps Obama to spread the wealth around. Once again, make Puerto Rico a state. Who's asking for a 51st state? Who's asking for millions of new welfare recipients and government entitlement addicts in the middle of a depression? Or recession, if you must, if you insist. Certainly not American taxpayers, but this has been Barack Obama's plan all along. Why he was the first president in so long to visit Puerto Rico. He has an agenda. His goal is to add two new Democrat senators, five Democrat congressmen, and a million loyal Democrat voters who are dependent upon big government. Legalize 12 million illegal Mexican immigrants. And just give these 12 million potential new citizens free health care alone could overwhelm the system and bankrupt America. But it adds 12 million reliable new Democrat voters who can be counted on to support big government. Add another few trillion dollars in welfare, aid to dependent children, food stamps, free medical education, tax credits for the poor, and eventually Social Security. A stimulus and bailouts. Where did that money go? I'll tell you where. It went to Democrat contributors, organizations, Acorn, for example, and unions, including billions of dollars to save or create jobs for government employees across the country. It went to save GM and Chrysler so their employees could keep paying union dues. It went to AIG so that Goldman Sachs could be bailed out after giving Obama almost $1 million in contributions. A staggering $125 billion went to teachers, thereby protecting their union dues. All those public employees who vote loyal Democrat to protect their bloated salaries and pensions that are bankrupting this great country. The country goes broke. Future generations face a bleak future, but Obama, the Democrat Party, government, and the unions grow more and more powerful. The ends justify the means, do they not? Raise taxes on small business owners, high income earners, and job creators. Put the entire burden on only the top 20% of taxpayers, redistribute the income, punish success, and reward those who do nothing to deserve it, except to vote for Obama. Now, Reagan, my main man and yours, wanted to dramatically cut taxes in order to starve the government. Barack Obama wants to dramatically raise taxes to starve his political opposition. With the acts outlined herein, the acts that I have stated to you, Barack Hussein Obama and his regime have created a vast and rapidly expanding constituency of voters dependent upon big government, a vast privileged class of public employees who work for big government, and a government dedicated to destroying capitalism and installing themselves as socialist rulers by overwhelming the system. Why aren't more people coming out against this? Tomorrow we're going to get into that, because tomorrow we're going to be talking, and the rest of the week, all about conspiracy. Conspiracy theories. We're going to debunk some theories. We're going to talk about some that may be true, that may not be true. We're going to talk about it all. Conspiracy, conspiracy, and more conspiracy. World conspiracy. Bilderbergers. Masonic conspiracies. And on and on. But right now, it's about whether or not Barack Hussein Obama wants to destroy the United States of America from within. If this is all part of his master plan, doesn't it seem so? Add it up. Add it all up, and you've got the perfect Marxist scheme. All devised by a Columbia University student who also attended the same school, who also followed the Cloward and Piven plan. Look it up, if you will. Look up the Cloward and Piven strategy. We'll be right back after this.
Long term is not just militarily. We've got to win over hearts and minds. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
In Pakistan, meanwhile, the first apparent U.S. missile strike since Barack Obama became commander-in-chief. At least 17 people were killed, and the world is getting an early sample of the new administration's war on terror.
But he can give a new impetus to American foreign policy, partly because the reception of him is so extraordinary around the world. I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
And President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway, all of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. I mean, the old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
He's President Bush's ninth cousin once removed. Cheney's cousin Barack Obama is also Bush's 11th cousin.
One of the things I discovered is that Dick and Barack Obama are eighth cousins.
What?
Is that an amazing thing?
Even Obama's administration wants to increase spending overseas and increase military spending. As long as you want to run the world empire at $1 trillion a year, believe me, you cannot solve this problem. We are determined to take a serious recession and turn it into a depression if we don't change our ways.
The idea of universal citizen service. Mm-hmm. You have to participate.
Citizenship is not an entitlement program. It comes with responsibilities. Everybody somewhere between the ages of 18 and 25 will serve 3 months of basic training and understanding in a kind of civil defense.
So is this compulsory then?
Well, you have to, in a sense, it's a required of everybody, 18 to 25, 3 months, because I think anytime somebody serves their country in some capacity, we're going to be stronger for it.
Georgia Republican Congressman Paul Brown says he fears President-elect Obama could establish a Marxist dictatorship. Brown said in an interview Monday, quote, "It may sound a bit crazy and off base, but he's the one who's proposed this national security force." Brown is referring to a July speech by Mr. Obama in which he called for a civilian force to relieve the military and some of its national security burden. That's exactly what Hitler did in Nazi Germany, and it's exactly what the Soviet Union did. He's showing me signs of being Marxist. You have to remember that Adolf Hitler was elected in a democratic Germany, end quote, Paul Brown.
Variety of conflicts against the Soviet Union, but we always strove to maximize the number of supporters in order to isolate the opponents. I'm very much for the use of power.
I think Obama is clearly more effective and has the upper hand.
If we have actionable intelligence about high-value terrorist targets and President Musharraf will not act, we will.
The verbal reaction was swift.
Pakistan being a sovereign country will never allow any other country to send troops to its territory for any purpose.
The doctor presents him. He has proven to be an outstanding friend and somebody who I've learned an immense amount from.
Will you pledge that by January 2013, the end of your first term, more than 5 years from now, there will be no U.S. troops in Iraq?
I don't want to make promises not knowing what the situation is going to be 3 or 4 years out.
And I have to say, Obama is the most inspiring man. He told us all to go do our civic duty to participate and make this one big global community.
This man was born for this, and he was born to lead us, and I just feel so inspired.
Someone to actually make a difference in my generation.
I feel like I am living a dream. I feel like I am, I feel like I'm experiencing a level of inspiration.
Not only does he hear us, he feels us. And that when I hear Barack Obama, they said he talks to my soul.
He talks to my soul. Oh, isn't that sweet? It's almost as if he's been relegated to that of a deity, not of this world, but a god-like person, creature, thing. He talks to her soul. They're so inspired by this man who will ultimately bring about the ruination of this great country and their lives. Doesn't anybody remember history? Doesn't anyone remember that the same sort of rhetoric, the same sort of talk was bestowed upon leader after leader who brought nothing but hurt, pain, death, and destruction to those same people who uttered these types of platitudes, these words. He speaks to my soul. He was born for this moment. We worship you, O mighty one. You're the greatest thing since that peanut butter that comes in the jar with the jelly in it also. You're the most magnificent. The next thing you know, they're walking around in rags, scouring the dumpsters for something to eat. Same people who worship this man. The emperor has no clothes, and he is buck naked. And These folks don't seem to realize it. All across the news spectrum today, be it print, electronic media, radio, television, all of it, the net, is the tagline, Obama wants to collapse the American economy so people will beg government to help. Not only is it listed on teaparty.org, as you would expect, but across mainstream media outlets now, folks are beginning to look at Mr. Obama and say, hey, he's naked. Or, hey, he's a socialist, hell-bent on the destruction of the United States of America. Obama wants to collapse the economy so the people will be so distressed that the people will beg for help from government. If that happens, everything changes. The country collapses. Obama will ditch the U.S. Constitution, and we are all of a sudden a Marxist country, and he is our dictator. Obama is one bad man, and he needs to be defeated in 2012, or we are done. I feel it, honestly. He's as smooth as they come, isn't he? Smooth talker. They all are. They all were. Should I dare equate Obama with Hitler? With Mussolini? With Lenin? With Chairman Mao? Smooth talkers all. They spoke to your heart, to your soul. And when there were those few who they couldn't reach with their oratory skills, they just simply made them disappear. Am I being harsh here? Am I out of line? Am I going too far? Am I paranoid? Am I speaking in terms of a conspiracy? Am I off base? Have I stepped over a line? I don't know. He's a smooth talker, and he smiles at you, and you'll do anything he wants. And he knows it. When he's done, he will have made fools out of us all, and he will be a world leader. And this can be very real. If debt is not lowered, if our debt is not lowered, the economy will crash, and life as we know it is over. Do not be fooled. You'll be kicking yourself if you do. There are no second chances here. It's all over now because we're hearing about it all over. It's out there. Take a listen to my main man and yours, Bill O'Reilly.
The only thing talking points can think of is that President Obama really doesn't want a budget deal, a debt compromise, that he's hoping the country will blame the Republicans for the chaos, and that he will be reelected on that sentiment. Once back in office, the president can continue to grow the government and provide so-called social justice his political philosophy. It's a gamble, but that's what I think's going on. The president could have had a deal last week with $800 billion in new revenue, but he said no. He wants $1.2 trillion more from the taxpayers, and the Republicans simply aren't going to do it. As an American, I'm angry about the situation. It's totally out of control. There's little leadership coming forth. The entire world is watching America, wondering if we've lost our minds. You can't owe $14.5 trillion and be fighting about spending cuts. That's insane. Some on the far left actually want the capitalistic system to collapse. They want a quasi-socialistic system where the government pays people's bills. President Obama buys into that philosophy to a certain extent, and that is driving the economic failure. The USA prospers when business expands and consumers spend. We all know that. Right now, the federal government is hindering that, with President Obama leading the way. Most Americans are beginning to wise up. When 44% of American voters strongly disapprove of a job a sitting president is doing, that president is in dire trouble. Thus the address tonight.
Do you agree? Do you agree with Bill O'Reilly that the president does not want to deal honestly with our debt situation? Does the president believe honestly in his heart that we're not facing a debt crisis that could ultimately bring about the ruination of this great country or once great country? Does the president believe honestly that he is dealing fairly with both Democrats and Republicans and the American people? Does he believe that he's dealing fairly here? Does he believe in his heart that he's doing the right thing? I don't think so. Why do conservatives not articulate that Obama wants to collapse the economy? Why? Why not? Suicide is painless, folks. I want to thank everybody for listening. Tesler, Beach Bum, Billy, Cougar, Craig, GGT, all my guests. Thank you, Richard, Southern Sense, Wahoo Radio, everybody. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy evening. I know you could be doing anything. And you tune into the show, and I do appreciate it, really. Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about conspiracy. Conspiracy theory. Conspiracy and more conspiracy. The game of life is hard to play. We're going to lose it anyway. But we're not going without a fight. We're not going without a fight. Suicide is painless. We're not committing suicide. Good night. Thank you. Come back tomorrow with your conspiracy hat on. Sword of time will pierce our skin. Mm-hmm. Suicide is painless. It brings on.